Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah, kind of continuing where I left off. We'll discuss some of these discussions about antinatalism and about the responsibility of the ethics of procreation, having kids. You could make sort of obvious arguments about, well, it's just a selfish act. Why would somebody do it logically? Introduce all kinds of opportunity for bad results. It's kind of a stretch to say the person needs to exist, just like it's a stretch to say any Martian needs to be rescued. Like he's in some kind of purgatory and he needs to be saved so the Martian can exist on Mars and go, I'm alive and I'm a Martian. That's reaching, pretty hard reach to say that there would be any good reason for, say, America to declare, Mars, a terrorist camp, and we have to go rescue it from its vacuum, and save it from the fact that it doesn't have little living bugs on it. It's a real stretch of reasoning and logic. But this comes down to so many arguments you can make. So, you have a Jeffersonian notion of, our Constitution and how things work, and it's this idea that, your property, your realm of influence ends where somebody else's property begins. So you don't go stepping in other people's property unless there's some necessity, unless you're on a rescue mission. And it has to be a pretty good rescue mission, right? I mean, there's all kinds of conversation about whether cops should chase some petty thief, at 90 miles an hour through busy city streets because, what's the outcome here? You're going to arrest somebody for some minor crime who's not really a murdering threat or anything, and you're going to basically put a whole bunch of people at jeopardy. Not very smart. Not very economical. So you could argue it's insufficiently efficient as a policy, that we should come up with some better way to apprehend criminals. We should be able to just do it with Social Security numbers, frankly. We all should just have, it should be right there, tattooed on us, frankly. A little chip implanted, yes. We all should be accountable for our existence. Make it so much more efficient. Side subject. All of the, the fact that people talk about how, liars suck, but they really do love lying. So you could argue just from that imposition argument that you really have no business making plans for somebody else's existence. It's just way out of the realm of your authority to create their property and then try to pretend you have some capacity to protect them from harm and all of that. So there's all kinds of context that you can view the subject from, and I would argue that the context that should never be allowed is religious wackery. We should never be imposed upon by, Jerry Mathers there, telling us that God says so and he's gonna, vote us out of rights because his God says so. I mean, that's really offensive, in terms of just an overt trespass. You don't care about our rights, you just care about whatever you think salvation is. Well, it's not your job. Anyway. So, play the video, that's the plan, and I will use whatever they say as a stepping off point to just reiterate the really important subject, which is its evolution. It is, in fact, still a very buggy planet. I mean, humans haven't made it all that, it's not party land, it isn't like they have eased the pain in some dramatic way. We're all Borg slaves to, a bunch of rich capitalists. I mean, there's so many things that are just grotesque in terms of just how sloppy and ugly bug life is. And certainly nowhere near anything to say, well, I endorse it. No, I basically say this machine is running so badly that no rational person leaves it running. The meat grinder, the people grinder, the animal grinder is way out of control in terms of its negatives versus its positives. All right. So I'll press the button. I'll press it again.
Or to do some other great thing. The only reason they may want to do those things is because you created them in the first place, right? So it's sort of like...
There's no need. Again, the Martians don't need to be rescued. Humans don't need to be rescued from purgatory and brought into existence. You're not saving them from some horrible fate, some torturous, awful, horrible fate. And most goods are basically made out of preventing bads. So let's understand that it's really hard to come up with a good that's for free. You usually have to be really thirsty or really hungry to enjoy the food, all of that kind of stuff. Those are, the way you have to manufacture the goods are relative comparison kind of thing. And you do basically have to, get bitten by the mosquito and get the itch and then satisfy the itch. And it'd be just so much better to start with no itch, no mosquito.
There's no demand for the opportunities that you want to...
There's no urgency. There's no demand in the sense that you're not on a rescue mission. You're on some aggressive, I think the whole universe should be me mission. it's not a very sensible mission. We need more, and there's never enough. I mean, 7 million people, not enough. 240 million people, not enough. That could go a billion, not enough. 7 billion, not enough. We have to populate space. We have to take over the universe and make everything a sentient loser. Most of them will be losers. Most of them will not be winners.
Use as a compensation for the suffering you're imposing on someone. So you've kind of got to create the demands for it by creating someone, if you get what I mean. So it seems like there's a supply and demand problem. Like you...
Yes. So you should just stop there and just said, you're not on a rescue mission. So what you're doing is basically saying, I want to take a risk of creating a slave, that is a tortured being, to make a white guy who sits and drinks tea. So I want to make a white guy who's well-dressed and perfumed and powdered and all that kind of crap, and I want to put a bunch of losers in the field slaving to make his clothes and to make his high life. And you think you're just going to make the powdered white guy, and you're not going to make any of those losers.
You want to supply someone with quote-unquote these opportunities as a compensation for imposing harm on them, but there's no one there demanding it. What do you think about that?
I think that that would absolutely 100% make sense if I did not believe in my previous established opinion on entropy.
I don't know, this I can't even laugh at the entropy argument hard enough, right? Because it's not actual physics. It's just absolute nonsense that entropy is some threat to anything. And the fact is by their own theory, they can't avoid it anyway. So this guy, I guess, would say we have to escape the solar system, then we have to escape the galaxy, and we have to do all this stuff because the entropy's coming. And there's no physics to do any of that. There's no physical chance we could do any of that.
Completely, I would completely 100% agree with you.
Okay, so if it wasn't for a couple of bizarre and strange and almost, you'd have to say, completely retarded notions in his head, God and entropy, we wouldn't have to have the conversation. So it is kind of funny, right? He's just conceding all the logic and just saying, well, unless you buy my package of bullshit, I mean, it is absolute bullshit, God and entropy. I mean, so it's just, it's, so again, you know, the argument is that in the real sense, these arguments can't be defeated, and the only thing they're defeated by is insane optimism, and it's literally insane. I mean, it's insane in the sense that it's premised on some bullshit notion that there's some sort of glory hole that, you know, the universe has, and we're going to tweak it just right, and it's going to go, ooh, I'm so glad the human showed up to tweak my anus. I mean, shit, it's just so, you know, like we're the you know, the non-entropy dildo coming to save the universe from its anguish. I mean, you have to turn it into a ludicrous story. I mean, it really is. That's just, all right, let's continue. Maybe somewhere the story will get more rational. But again, this guy's already ruined himself in 17, you know, he's already pooed his pants as much as you can poo them.
If I didn't think we had a responsibility.
Right, yeah, yeah. So it's
like to stop entropy, which you can't stop anyway. I mean, it's already doing it all on its own. Right now, suns are being formed. I mean, the non-entropy is already happening. It's not a threat.
The most moral responsibility to do good elsewhere other than just in creating something.
Yes. If there was absolutely no purpose in life whatsoever, I would think that it would be completely hard.
All right, so we're not talking about a purpose, obviously. If there was a rescue mission, right, then we could justify our existence. If there was fires that happened, then the firemen can justify their existence. But if there's no fires anywhere in the universe, well, you can't justify having a fireman. You know, because then you end up just being book burners or something, right? So that's not the threat. So again, it just really has to do with some notion that it's a good idea to put kids on tight ropes, you know, and watch them, you know, over the swords and with swords above, and play some game that, wow, he made it to the other side, yay, and just ignore all the ones that don't. And that's somehow a rational way to play life. Sorry. Yeah, that's not going to sell that to me anyway.
Listen, cruel to have children.
So let's go back to my original questions in the second one. Why do you think one person gets to choose that is a valid compensation for the other person? The fact that they are a foot soldier in all of this.
So I actually will respond to that question with a question, and then I will answer it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I notice a lot of antinatalist arguments are about consent.
Yeah, it's really kind of important. And the fact that you can't get it is irrelevant. My neighbors go on vacation. Their house is empty. I know where they keep their money. I have a feeling like I'm going to win at Las Vegas. So, yeah, I might as well win for them, too. They would be really grateful. So I'll just break into their house and take their money and go to Las Vegas and invest it in my big plan of success, my big plan of optimism, because they're in Europe and I can't, you know, no cell phone, no nothing. I can't talk to them. You know, they're in some little special little town that's all fucked up. So I can't get their consent, but I can't. You know, I can't not do this super thing for them. I would go to jail, appropriately.
And, you know, I live in a rural area. There's lots of drugs. Is rehab unethical?
Brother. If you haven't really committed a crime, I'd say no, it isn't, okay? But if you've been doing your drugs in public, well, then I guess so.
I mean, it depends on the situation, but in the situation that we're both thinking of, I would say generally no, because it's in that person's interests to get clean, I would say.
Exactly.
No, that's just bullshit. You either have a social interest to protect yourselves from a menace, or you don't have any interest, okay? If the heroin addict stays in a basement somewhere and doesn't bother you, and he gets his heroin without a bunch of gunplay and all of that other crap that goes with it, a bunch of organized crime, then no, there's no harm, no foul. So let's not pretend you can be against prostitution unless it's creating a bunch of, you know, social disease or some other kind of thing. There's no reason for you interfering in somebody else's decisions. Okay, and as long as minors aren't involved and all that kind of crap, or retards. I guess I would go as long as you have an economic system that allows women to make more rational choices, than, you know, accepting any skanky dick for money.
I mean, it is outside of their consent. You are violating this person's consent in their best interest, which, that's a rabbit hole in of itself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really, these questions are so much less of a question than the question where you're defending creating a human being, and you have no skills, you have no proven capacity to do anything but fail. So where is the comparison? I mean, this is not apples and oranges. This is grapes and watermelons.
I've heard a lot of people who violate stuff for people's best interests, and you end up with artificial famine.
Oh, this is amazing. Coming from a fucking guy who admits he's a creationist and a Christian. I mean, you people are in everybody's business all over the fucking place. Amazing hypocrisy. I mean, it's just such a hypocritical argument.
But from this limited perspective,
rehab
is not unethical. I think it is in the best interest of a person to exist.
So he said overtly before, only if they believe that entropy's coming, or if they believe in God. Otherwise, they would recognize the irrational risk and say, shit, why did you put me in this fucking mess? Why did you put me on this Titanic, frankly? I mean, it is a Titanic. Statistically, it's a Titanic. These things will happen to you. You're going to win some of these crap lotteries. They've put a whole bunch of lottery tickets in your pockets, and some of them are ALS. I mean, some of them are insanely horrid lotteries, and you're going to win some of them. Fact. Everybody wins some shit. And some people win insane amounts of shit by your casual, well, it's just like deciding to comb somebody's hair or stub their toe. Ugh, shit.
Because it gives them, because I don't believe in the validity of, it's like a lot of people say when they talk about things like new technologies that are going to be invented in the future. Mm-hmm. Why would we send a satellite out into space to take pictures if in 50 years we'll have a better satellite? Mm-hmm. And the question I would ask then is, why not send both?
Because guess what? It's meaningless. Yeah, that's right. That's why you don't do it. It's because it's not gonna serve any function. You've stolen the money from people to do something you think is interesting, but it has absolutely no relevance to anything. It's not going to cure any diseases. It's not going to make the human condition any better. It's just for your own satisfaction of a tiny bit of curiosity. So we have already learned from the moon, right, that it got boring really fast. Really fast. Got really, really boring. Now, they didn't learn from Mars, which is funny, right? Because we sent the probe to Mars in the 1980s. It went there, it picked up some dirt, it took some marvelous pictures. Done. And they just keep redoing it like, wow, this is so fascinating. When, no, it's absolutely, completely redundant. I mean, it's his irony that it brings that up. You know, how, you know, we don't have, you know, monorails and moving sidewalks. I mean, all these marvels just don't show up. $10 billion for this stupid new telescope that doesn't take a picture of anything interesting, frankly. Anything relevant or meaningful.
What are we holding?
All looking for the universe's glory hole. They're all looking for, oh, maybe we can find the sacred anus. and go fuck it. I mean, there's just nothing. There's just nothing to this except absolute bad priorities based on humans being just so full of themselves. So instead of fixing this dirty, filthy nest we're living in, they're looking for a new nest.
Looking out for something that doesn't exist yet. We could very well in 50 years not have a better satellite, and now we've lost 50 years of data. Because you are putting in...
So it looks like the other guy's falling asleep now. What the fuck does this have to do... How did we get on this shit subject? You want to talk about how we waste money? Oh, God, there's so many ways we do that. Insane. Just printing American flags, for fuck's sake. There's so many ways to waste money. Making money, printing money. It costs a whole bunch of money just to print money because, well, we can't put a serial number on the money, apparently, right? It's just like our Social Security number. It's just a fake, stupid number. It doesn't mean anything. And the numbers on the money apparently doesn't mean anything, right? Because they could just have every dollar bill tracked, you know, with, you know, satellites. They could track every dollar where it is. We could all have secure money. No counterfeiting possible. And we don't do it. Because people are afraid of technology. It's just so funny. I mean, the ironies. The ironies. You could save, you know, 15,000 people from vomiting to death merely by making sure you sanitize seafood. And they don't do it.
Into a factor on your math problem, something that does not exist yet. Think about the moral responsibilities that are now required if you're calculating for people who don't exist yet. Oh my God, I could eat this apple and satiate my hunger, or I could plant the seeds for...
Oh boy, now he's talking about being a seed planter. Okay. He's a real Pierrot. The seeds demanded it. I didn't have anything to do with it. The seeds planted the tree. Anyway, just... This is one of the arguments about just how out of control the system is that you cannot control any of this. The fact is, you can go to the store, pick up the apple, and kill somebody. Because now the other guy is going to pick up a rotten apple, okay, or it's going to be, the apple's going to have a little hard bit in it, and he's going to choke on it and die. So if you got the bad apple, the apple with the hard bit in it, you would have been fine. But because he's old, he's going to choke to death on the fucking apple. So you killed somebody by buying an apple. I mean, that's how stupid our existence is. That we can't in any way prevent ourselves from being mass murderers by merely eating an apple. And you're defending that, you fucking Looney Tune.
The people who don't exist yet. And if I eat my apple and then all the other apple trees die, and in 50 years that could have been an apple tree, now it's on my responsibility that all these people don't get apples. Now I'm a horrible person.
So now there's some kind of in the universe some need for the human being. So again, you've broken the logic of the argument. There's no need for apples. We don't need to feed anybody. There's plenty of grapes and other stuff. They don't need to have apples. So why are you making apple trees when there's no need for apples? We don't need them. So it's like saying we could have something called a double apple, or we could have something called a triple apple, or a snapple, or a garapple, or a badapple. We could have a badapple. We could make badapples. Do we really have a need to make them? And if making them was going to cause harm, would we really have a justification for making badapples? No. The humans aren't serving a purpose, so pretending that they're going to all grow up and cure cancer is ludicrously stupid.
Person, because I stole apples from people from the future. And I know that sounds like an exaggeration, but it is technically...
So his brain actually farted. Okay, and said, you're talking such absolute shit. Try to qualify what you're saying, because that was so fucking crazy. There's no way they're going to buy it. So try to qualify it with some sort of, hey, you know, it's really a profound statement. It just kind of looks dirty and cruddy and rusty, but no, it's really stainless steel. No worries. Yeah, it's a stainless steel argument. I mean, that was just such a Trumpy moment.
Speaking, the logical conclusion of that argument. If you don't just stop at the unborn, you go and really push that one as far as it'll go.
What? What's going on in his head right now? What the fuck is he talking about? How the hell do I respond to this mush? Could you speak English? Me no comprehendo.
Why do you think, because when we were talking about rehab, I was saying that the reason it may be in that circumstance justifiable to force someone into rehab is because whilst they may not want to do it at that time, and so you're violating their consent.
No, you're just violating the fact that they are a threat to your social peace. That's the reasoning. You can't have any other reason that's justified. So you're arguing that the construct, the function of our society requires that the traffic flow. You're not allowed to be a jaywalker. I mean, there's lots of reasons we say you can't do certain things because they fuck up the whole structure and put other people at risk. So clearly the argument can be made that this reckless random, no, not random, but this reckless sloppy drug use does put other people at risk. I don't want people high driving cars towards me. Maybe you, it's okay with you, but it isn't okay with me. I mean, I've been stoned and I've driven cars and I know that I'm not the same person. So you can pretend, hey, everything's just fine, but no, it's not just fine.
They will overall benefit from it because they will get clean and then their quality of life will just be way better than afterwards. Now, I agree with you. There are a lot of people who may have that mindset, and it's sort of like, you know, that saying, like, we're from the government and we've come here to help you. Yes. It's like, that's the worst thing you want to hear. So I 100% get what you mean. Like, there are often people who go around doing things with good intentions and it backfires. But
yeah, Pirro. Perfect example, really. You ought to put it in a book, the Book of Pirro. How not to live a life. Ugh. I mean, do all this, live, blah, 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 talk, and then just prove you're full of shit. You don't care about anything called the truth.
And I also think that's another reason that people should not be creating other people, because they may do it with good intentions, but it could massively backfire. Like, let's just think about this sort of for a minute. Like, when you
can't buy any insurance to fix it. There's no fix, okay? When you've done the catastrophic harm, you know, when you've eaten the apple, the guy's dead. There's no way to fix it, okay? The guy's tortured first, let's just say, right? Because torture has so much to do with this. You're not just killing things. You're torturing them to death, okay? You're sentencing them to some sort of disability, deprivation, pain, suffering, then death. And you're doing it from the Christian perspective in an atmosphere where you get as little mitigation against that pain and suffering as possible. You know, you're allowed to take some pills to mitigate the pain, but you're not allowed to just jump it over it. You're not allowed to skip it altogether by their ethics. I mean, that has to be the context. You can't buy insurance. You can't buy undo. You can't buy it didn't happen. So why are you pretending that there's anything other than catastrophic failure? And that catastrophic failure, Fukushima, can't be allowed. It just can't be within the realm of a possibility. You have to make it nearly impossible, or you have no business playing with it.
Create someone, you are creating them into a flesh suit which can is capable of incredible suffering, which is so delicate, it can be damaged in innumerable ways.
And let's understand, it's damaged by nature itself. The nature of the function of this bug juice that we're living on, that's its plan. Its plan is killing you, okay? It doesn't have some other plan. It has to get you out of the way so your seeds can grow. Okay, it has to eat your dead body. In the case of the salmon, the little babies have to feed on your corpse. That's part of the nature's great, brilliant strategy, for fuck's sake. So let's understand, the failure is necessary to the quality of the genetic code. The genetic code can't maintain itself if it doesn't kill a bunch of children. It has to murder the children. It has to feed on their blood, essentially. Okay, the blood footprint. The higher it is, the more efficient the modification of the molecule. Oh, geez, it's just so stupid not to concede that we're in a meat grinder. It's supposed to grind meat. That's what it's supposed to do. It's not incidental to the function. It's a vital part of the function.
And you can't guarantee what is going to happen to them. And you can't even guarantee that you're going to be around to help them. Like, you don't know what your relationship is going to be like to them. You don't know if you may be incapacitated in some way or even killed when they're 2 years old. Then they're growing up without a mother or a father, or even both in the case of an orphan. So it's also the case that...
There, perfectly fair and reasonable argument. Just, you know, maybe stop. Stop there. What about that? How do you fix it? How do you clean up your mess? Are you allowed to make a mess that can't be cleaned up? That's the simple question. So that would be the same thing you say to the nuclear power plant people. Are you allowed to make a mess you can't clean up? Should you be allowed? There, that's enough. Obviously, no, we should have a law against making messes that can't be cleaned up.
The intentions don't necessarily justify the action here as well, even if it's well-intentioned. But another thing I would say is that in the rehabilitation case, is that even if it goes well and your good intentions pay off and they get some sort of benefit, and it goes to serve some sort of interest they have, which is having a good quality of life, I don't think
that... Okay, let's just, you know, analyze it even a step deeper. Just think about all the money it costs. So you're basically saying you have a broken toaster, you're going to send it to toaster rehab, okay, but it's going to cost $76 per toaster. You know, what's the point? There's a point where you're investing all of these resources and trying to fix something that's broken when, you know, just wait till it goes to sleep and don't let it wake up. There, problem solved. Dispose of the broken toaster, because hell, we have plenty of seeds to plant. We don't need a bunch of rotten trees, you know, leaning everywhere. Let's just, you know, whack them to make room for the little seedlings. I mean, that's where their logic actually goes, right? Is that, you know, there's just pragmatically no efficiency either way. I mean, you can't make any sense out of it. It just can't work as a theory. You know, that there's any economy to this at all.
That example carries over to the case of creating someone, because before someone exists, they can't have, by definition, an interest to come into existence. Because to have an interest, there has to be some...
It wouldn't matter anyway. I mean, what, even if they said, I need to, even though it was a computer, we could make it go, I need to exist, I need to exist. You still have to show that the need was in some way real. You know. So what's, you know, there's no reality to that, right? So there's absolutely nothing, okay, in any sense that you're fixing. You're not fixing something, a circumstance that's broken, all right? The universe isn't broken because Mars doesn't have Martians. It's not in deficit. It's not bleeding in some way. It's not limping in some way. It's not in some way not good. Yeah. So why risk making things worse to create an improvement that can't be appreciated unless you make things worse? I mean, it's just basically saying we just make messes. Yes, we can clean up the mess once we made a mess. So we're good at cleaning up messes. I mean, we're good at trying anyway. But why did we make the mess in the first place?
One who exists to have that interest.
And I completely agree.
Yeah, so I don't think we can say we're serving some sort of interest in creating them.
We're not serving their interest, no. It's fulfilling a responsibility. The responsibility.
Okay, to stop entropy. It's just so silly, right? I mean, I don't know how do you cognize this threat that we're all supposed to recognize as obvious when I can't recognize it as obvious? Why doesn't God put that in the Bible? Stop the entropy! Stop it! Stop it! It's coming to get me! Save God from the entropy! See, the narrative just goes so wacky that there's, this is what I have to argue with you? Is the existence of whatever this bogeyman is? I mean, you know, the booger man is coming for you? You know, what the fuck? Zombies? You're afraid of zombies?
Ability to perpetuate the species so that there is someone left to care for the universe.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just amazing. Now, I would argue, frankly, okay, if the whole universe is a, you know, jukebox, and there was a realistic possibility that it has a, you know, a plug, and it's plugged into a wall somewhere, yeah, probably worth having human beings go out in their little suits, you know, their little electrician suits, and go out there and try to disconnect that power cord. But, yeah, no chance. That narrative ain't going to play as realistic.
It's okay.
Back to my original charge. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not at all about them. It's 100% about the responsibility.
Right. We're all Borg members, and we have to be part of the Borg army that's fighting the bogeyman of entropy. So he doesn't mind subscribing us all into the draft. And we have to go fight his Vietnam War of, the entropy's coming. We have to fight the entropy monster. So we're slaves to his religion, or we're slaves to his completely insane nutball narrative about Mr. Entropy coming to visit.
Yeah, it's not even about the self. It is about the responsibility of human beings. Now, I believe that a lot of people don't do it for that reason, and I would say that is a wrong reason to have children.
Yeah.
So it is hilarious that he thinks the right reason to have children is only in the brain of one lunatic. So there's only one lunatic on Earth who knows the real reason people should have children, because nobody on Earth is having children to fight entropy. It's just, it can't possibly be another version of this anywhere, right? I mean, how big can this cult be? All right, maybe 10 members. How many people on Earth right now are saying, geez, I really got to find me a woman so I can have some kids so I can fight entropy? Who the fuck's doing that?
Do you not think that sort of mindset of we are going to impose suffering on people with no view of it being beneficial to them, but it's to serve this other purpose?
Right, this contrived, nonsensical, nutty purpose. So I've even said, look, even if you have a sensible purpose, like you all want to go to the fun park, you all want to go to Disneyland because somehow, you know, Mickey makes you a little wet, you know, you get a little, big giant mouse, wow, cool, gotta hump that. Whatever it is, right? I don't want to mock it entirely, but I mean, frankly, amusement parks were always just some sort of thing you went to, and it wasn't all that amusing. Now, I did have a little, you know, I had a little affection for fairs, because you go to a fair, I never went on the rides, fuck that shit. Merry-go-round? You gotta be kidding me. It's what they call, the fairy-go-round. it's just so lame and gay. But anyway, You know, so I like the gambling stuff, you know, or the little skill thing. You know, we have to throw the ball and have it fall in the milk bottle or something. That intrigued me, you know, a little contest, little challenges. but the whole rest of it is crap. It's all cotton candy. It's all dirt. It's all horse manure. It's all shit. What the fuck? You're watching an elephant stand on a ball. I mean, come on. This is entertaining you? Are you really out of your mind? But yes, you get caught up with it because everybody does it, right? So it's like, I remember I got dragged to a hockey game once in, you know, a stadium. And it was the stupidest. The seats sucked. The whole thing sucked. You can't see anything. And there's this threat that this little rubber, hard rubber thing is going to come flying in through the air and hit you in the head. I mean, what the fuck about it? Is it all entertaining? Yeah. So, I mean, it just, and we should be obliged to fall into some sort of notion that any of that makes any sense, that any of this crap about we need to entertain somebody. And so the real point is that my analogy is that even if you have a purpose, which I can't understand, frankly, the fun park, and you're all going to go there and have so much fun, and there's one person in the car who's not going to have any fun at all, it's going to be torture. Do you really think, are you willing to admit that you wouldn't care that they're going to be tortured, that they're going to be sick and horrible, it's going to be a terrible experience, they can't take the air pressure or something. You know, somebody going on an airplane, and you know the trip, you know, they're going to have the pressure problem and they have an infection somewhere and it's going to cause them insane amounts of pain and suffering. Or it might even cause permanent damage, might even cause their brain to hemorrhage and they'll die. And you're going to Disneyland. I mean, it's a plane trip to Disneyland, and he doesn't want to go. And he's saying, please, don't drag me along on this moronic trip because it's going to be horrible for me. Would you really look him in the eyes and say, too bad, okay, we're going to go have fun. We're going to go have some trivial, silly fun, and what the fuck does your pain and suffering have to do with it? Fuck you. I mean, isn't the argument that simple? I mean, these arrogant, obnoxious procreators are just saying, I don't care if it doesn't work out. And I don't care if I torture the kid. And I don't care if he lives a miserable life. And I don't care if he commits suicide at 27. I don't fucking care because I'm having too much goddamn fun playing with the puppies. I'm saying that I don't think if most of you are given that real choice, the button is there for you to press, and you understand the button means you are going to torture people for whatever this fun ride is. I don't think you'll do it. I don't think you're that rotten. But you'll sit there and defend it, okay? You'll argue for it. But if you had to really press the button, if you really had to go out and cut the chicken's head off, or you had to go out and slit the guts out of the pig, or, you know, or you stick the knife in the side of the cow's head, yeah, I don't think you would do it. If you had to get personal with the shit you consume and use and abuse, you wouldn't do it. So why pretend, you know, that there's some argument you can make to defend any of it? If it was your dog that was going to be somebody else's dinner, you wouldn't let it happen.
Do you not feel like that could, you know, this could end up in some sort of gulag situation?
I think that
yeah, I think that's exactly where we are. So yes, of course, it could end up in a gulag. The Borg, the whatever you want to call it. We're all slaves to their wacky beliefs and some optimism that everything's going to be all right. We're all going to live happily ever after. When, of course, we're not going to do any of that shit. We're just waiting for the sword that actually hits us. We're just dancing in the sword play. And it's, you know, to some extent, we can say, I survived playing sword. You know, we can wear the t-shirt until the sword, you know, splits the t-shirt in half.
Exact mentality is what stopped the gulag situation. I mean, how did the individual boys benefit in World War II from the American side?
When you say the individual boys, sorry, what do you mean?
The soldiers. How did the American soldiers benefit from being on the front line?
Well, of course, they don't benefit at all. They're going to be, harshly sacrificing themselves to rescue the rest of us from the Nazis. I mean, it's not that complicated. The grenade jumper isn't going to personally go to Disneyland. No, he's going to go to fuck you. And it's quite brave of people, but obviously a lot of them are contrived. Again, a lot of them aren't doing it because, hey, they thought, what a great way to live my life. And then the rest of them are doing it because they're honorable and they want to save their parents, or they want to save their sister, or they want to save something thing that's important to them. And so they're going to sacrifice. They're going to give their full measure of devotion. And it's gross that we accept this carnage, that we're dancing on the graves of all of those dead people with this silly, disgusting, putrid, crappy, shitty culture we've created, this fucking nothing culture, the culture that stands for nothing and just says, do whatever the fuck you want, be whatever kind of asshole you want. Ugh.
I guarantee you, if you ask anybody who was on D-Day, they would tell you they did not benefit from that day.
Yeah.
But if we hadn't have done that, then there could have been serious problems. And obviously...
Right. What's the serious problem if life doesn't exist on Earth? What exactly is the serious problem? Well, there's no concentration camps, there's no gulags, there's no dead soldiers, there's no carnage, there's no disability, there's no ALS, there's no cancer, there's no... I mean, the list of all the stuff you're saved from is insanely long. And the list of what you lost, redundant mental storytelling about how great I am. Oh, so we lose the little redundant part of human psychology that says, I'm really cool and I'm really important and I need to be here and I'm really important and I'm really cool and I need to be here. So we lose that robot. And we spare ourselves all of the harms, all the tortures, all the pain and suffering, all the wasted suffering, all the wasted broken limbs, all the wasted, tumor surgery, all the waste goes away, and we save for the great, wonderful thing, just to save this stupid little notion in the head, all right, we go ahead and waste all the suffering. Pretty stupid logic. I mean, frankly, I can't see the logic, and I don't know how people can contrive any logic to say that makes good sense. Yes, sir, it's a really important notion in the head. We got to torture some people to maintain that notion in the head that this is fun and we're winning. Fuck.
See, of course, you can make the argument, America didn't do it, but Russia helped, obviously. Mm. America and Russia stopped the Nazis. And that was
obviously the British had something to do with it, and Australians, and everybody, world war, kind of thing. Lots of them died too.
It was a decision. They drafted those boys into that fight that did not benefit them at all. But without them, we could have seen the entire massacre of the Jewish population in Europe.
Yeah. No. I understand where you're coming from. So, now, some people could ethically disagree with the draft, and I think they're entitled to do that. But someone could also argue that actually, ultimately, in the long term, it probably was in the interests of those soldiers, because if America...
Well, okay, look, we're just saying it. What's in the long-term interest of humanity? So this is just you can argue about... vaccines, you can argue about lots of things and say it's in a long-term interest that we keep polio, at bay. That we do certain things to perfect the future from having to clean up a mess that shouldn't have to exist, because we can eradicate it here in the present. We can prevent the weeds from growing in the garden, kind of thing. And so we have some obligation to prevent the infection.
America or other countries hadn't intervened, then it could have been that Nazism won out, right? And when they get Europe, well, then it's going to pose an issue to other parts of the world, right?
But not in the lifetime of those guys. It would have been a problem for their children, maybe.
I don't know. See, this is where it all loses connection, right? Because then you just argue about war strategies and, well, if they didn't defeat the Nazis, then the Nazis would have helped the Japanese, and then that would have affected us, right? So, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the Nazis win Europe easy, then the Japanese have, you know, a real ally now, and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Perhaps. Yeah, true. So do you think then, what would you draw from that? That
there are some responsibilities worth suffering for.
Okay, so would you go as far as to say that we can...
So again, you're saying though that the responsibility isn't something as obvious as everybody sort of agrees in the democracy, you know, the Nazis have to be stopped, that kind of thing. You elect your representative, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not going to elect you to be my representative, clearly, because I'm not going to want some lunatic who's trying to stop entropy. Okay, that's, you know, not a real Nazi. So until you can identify yourself as wanting to fight a war with some kind of real adversary, I mean, you're basically telling me you want to go to war with Great Britain. You know, you're telling me you want to go to war with, you know, whatever, Bangladesh or something. I don't know. Find some little Buddhist place where they just sit around eating apples. No, I don't want to go to war with that. I'm not going to join your army. Yeah.
Bring people into existence to harvest their organs, for example.
No, because I don't think that's a responsibility worth suffering for.
Why? I think... Do you not think that...
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Why not? Yeah, why don't we make people who are unconscious, okay, like coma, and just harvest their organs? Why not? What's the harm? Besides it looking horrible, besides it looking like horrible exploitation, what's the harm?
Lines are kind of arbitrary, like defeating Nazism or putting a leash on nature is
not
okay,
necessarily.
But organ harvesting is not okay.
Because the reason I have the ideas that I do is I believe in the sanctity of life.
Hmm.
Whatever
I
that
don't
means,
believe
right?
In...
So, oh, nose picking right in the video. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Anyway, didn't need to see that. Anyway, I mean, he's just said something that's just so. I mean, you cannot impose on other people with your fantasies. I mean, you can't sit there and make some sanctity of life argument. There's obviously you don't think life is at all sacred. I mean, I'm sure he's not a vegetarian. So what the fuck are you talking about? Sanctity of what? White people, right? Little white boy? That's all this is about. It's about your sanctity. It's not about the sanctity of anything else that you'll grind up to get what you want. Oh, that's a pathetic argument.
And, I mean, I believe in the sanctity of life. I think life is sacred.
Don't say that three times. No, do not do that. Do not say you're going to force me to be so conscribed into your silly army to fight for the whatever the sanctity of life is. Fuck you.
It is our rarest resource in the universe. So far as we know, we are alone. We have never seen evidence ever of
these monsters before. Yeah, there's no Tyrannosauruses except the Tyrannosauruses that were on Earth. That would be no big surprise, right? And the electric eel, there's only electric eels on Earth because, you know, neurons are really the key to this whole thing. You know, electrical cells, which is where it all started, is that some organism electrified somebody or, you know, gave them a shock as a defense mechanism, and that defense mechanism became a very useful tool in making very quick reflexes. And so that's the beginning of the brain, you know. So, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be, there's absolutely no way you could possibly expect evolution to do anything else but make almost an infinite number of varieties. And that the idea that you would be, like, if you had two living things in the universe that they'd have much in common is pretty thin. I mean, in common besides having some way to see and some way to hear and some way to do these things, but they're not going to be the way we do it.
Life ever being outside of our planet ever?
Mm.
And even if there was,
And the science says pretty conclusively that it will not survive the universe. Okay, the universe is going to wipe it out. It's not going to survive. So quit pretending you're going to do your Star Wars thing. And even if you're pretending you're doing your Star Wars thing, look at the carnage in Star Wars. Oh, I mean, the blood footprint isn't good.
We'll be so far away that we might as well be alone. It is the rarest and most valuable resource.
All right, so it's just baby talk. He's just saying the meat grinder needs to meat grind because it's always meat grinded and we love meat grinding. Meat grinding is what we do. Yes, there's nobody to eat this crap. We aren't doing it for any. We're not saving anything. We're not making a cure for cancer with the meat grinder. We just need meat grinder. It always exists because meat grinder has to exist. Meat grinder, meat grinder, meat grinder. Yeah. He's just on the meat grinder bandwagon. The sacred meat grinder.
And so, and by resource, I don't mean like something to be harvested, but the rarest thing in the universe.
Mm-mm. You know what? This is like a Nazi to me, right? If I was going to go to war with something, people with this philosophy of I'll make slaves to my idiotic notions that the universe needs to have, that's the kind of person I go to war with because that's a real threat to my safety. He doesn't give a shit about making victims. He says, fuck you, victim. So this is a dangerous guy, you know. So we're going to go to war. Yeah, this is probably the war to have, you know. I'm not saying anything personal. I'm not saying let's have a personal war, declare war, or any of that kind of crap. I'm just saying if there was an ideology I'm going to find disgustingly threatening, that's it. The glib are coming. That's a lot more of a threat than the fucking entropy. Entropy don't scare me at all. Glib scares the fuck out of me.
And it's sacred. And so I don't think that... The reason the Nazis were bad was...
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Okay. I'm just not going to react in any way whatsoever.
Because of their misanthropy.
Oh, so that's it. It wasn't because... So he's saying they're basically bad because they were too pragmatic. Wait a minute. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's right. They were too pragmatic. They thought they could take all these shortcuts to creating a efficient society. You could argue that's the real, you know, having the trains run on time because you shoot all the passengers who don't get in the train fast enough. Some sort of kind of grotesque pragmatism. But anyway, so what did he say they were about? They were misanthropic? I mean, it's just so insanely funny. They're aggressively trying to take over the world. How could that be misanthropic? They weren't, like, manic depressive sitting in a corner saying, oh, I just can't deal with this shit. Hilarious.
They had no issue with destroying people to get what they wanted.
Just like we don't have any issue with it either. When we decide we want Nicaragua to behave properly, we'll shoot up some nuns. We'll do whatever it takes. I mean, come on. It's just it's hilarious, this bullshit that we're not just as guilty in that sense of thinking we have a right to tell the rest of the world what it should be. Of course we're doing the same thing, so fuck that nonsense. Get to the real issue, okay, that they were bigots, which was really stupid and, you know, unacceptable, that they didn't have any right to say certain people are not worth caring for and respecting as human beings. That's their biggest crime, being bigots.
In a completely selfish sense. And you could, I mean, it could be even argued that when the Nazis started out, it was somewhat...
Oh, dear. I just, no, this is... I'm just going, you know, we know from past history that this is not, the human race is so fucked that it can't have any kind of real conversation about any of this stuff.
Justifiable because of the way England and France treated the Nazis, but it became, when Nazism became evil, was when it became misanthropic.
Oh, I mean, it's just, there's no point in, this is just such baby talk. Misanthropic. I mean, misanthropic has a real definition, right? That you don't see any function or purpose. I mean, how is that define the Nazis? I mean...
So...
Please, change the subject.
If...
I wonder what he's thinking. Oh, what do I do? I mean, now he wants to talk about Nazis. I don't want to talk about Nazis. Bad idea.
If we were to be able to get to a point where nature wasn't an issue, for example,
You didn't even talk about nature. So you didn't even talk about the fact that we're living on the death and destruction and harm of billions of sentient creatures per day. Billions of sentient creatures are put into all kinds of torture chamber devices, and you know, the screws are turned, and they, you know, all kinds of, their limbs are ripped off, all kinds of horrible, awful shit happening to billions of sentient creatures every fucking day. And that's the real subject. That, you know, how do we justify any of that shit? And the hypocrisy is people will get insanely upset if their, you know, dog has a little misery. You know, but some natural animal having a misery, I couldn't care less. It doesn't mean nothing to me. I mean, it's just so hypocritical and duplicitous. And part of it is just an example of how ugly people are, you know, because they watch it happen. See, I've watched it happen in my life, and it's just made me more and more and more and more incapable of absorbing any more, witnessing any more. I mean, the last thing I want somebody to do is show up on my doorstep with a puppy, say, you know, or a kitten. It's the last thing I want to happen.
What would be your view on procreation then? Do you think it would be acceptable to impose that suffering on others?
Maybe, maybe not. Of course, my mentality also comes with the fact that I'm not necessarily Earth-centric in my viewpoint. Mm. I think we have a sandbox outside that, I mean, it takes 7 months to get to the nearest planet.
Oh, so now we're going to go into the real wacky shit. So he really would infest Mars with living things. He really would do it. He would just create the meat grinder on Mars. Oh, man. And he's not worse than a Nazi? Yeah, frankly, I mean, Hitler was a vegetarian. I mean, just saying. I mean, yes, okay, there's just absolutely, doesn't make, his philosophy didn't make any sense, complete inconsistency. But, I mean, you know, he loved his dogs, you know. I mean, obviously, he probably didn't like people much, but whatever. I'm just, what would compel somebody to say, it's okay, yeah, I can torture things, I can make this experiment. I'm going to create an experiment that doesn't serve any purpose, he's conceding, essentially. It's not going to cure cancer. It's not going to fix anything. And it's going to kill a bunch of rats. And I'm going to do it. Because I can. And no other reason. Just because I can. And I want to. I mean, what the fuck is that? All right. Well, maybe we'll call this a video. All right. Where are we? 103. Well, we could probably do a little more.
That's the same amount of time it took for the pilgrims to sail to the New World. Technology's just going to get better. So I think we have a responsibility to cultivate anything that is cultivatable.
But do you think that's a good idea? Because I mean, if nature is so cruel and we need to be putting a leash on it, presumably, I mean, I'm sure if you're plugged into these conversations about going to Mars and the like, part of that conversation is terraforming, right? And establishing Earth-like biomes and ecosystems on these other planets.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but...
well, then why did you bring it up? Jesus Christ. It's never going to happen, but I brought it up because, you know, I'm just talking shit. That's why I brought it up. That's probably a good way to stop. That's probably a good place to stop. I don't think that's ever going to happen, so what does that have to do with the subject? Oh, you mean I brought it up? Oh, well, whoops. Okay. All right, so enough of a video. So I will try to finish this. Just, you know, sorry, I got distracted by other stuff this week and blah, 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 so I should have made more videos, but I just didn't find the time. I'm caught up in different, you know, all kinds of projects. Life is complicated. even though I've simplified my life so much, it's amazing. I eat the same thing for dinner every night. You know, beets and rice. I mean, things I just didn't think I was capable of, you know. Find I'm doing. Anyway, living such a simple existence. It's just amazing. And yet it's insanely busy. Yeah. But yeah, and all of this, the time you end up wasting in your life, well, okay, it's not wasting. Thinking is not wasting time. But, you know, just the idea of doing these videos and having these thoughts running, you know, it's work, because it's not like fun thoughts. I mean, serious thoughts are work. You know, and it's like, yeah, fantasizing is fun. Different things are fun. Imagining, you know, daydreaming. But this isn't. And that's just a truth. But anyway, so it is kind of a meager existence, frankly. But, you know, I'm still lucky by comparison to the average toil on Earth. Eek. Anyway, so, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot.